When Karen M. McManus released Two Can Keep a Secret in 2019, it quickly became a sensation among young adult thriller readers, following the massive success of her debut, One of Us is Lying. The novel captivated audiences with its masterful blend of small-town secrets, family mysteries, and teenage drama. What makes this book particularly compelling is how it explores the ripple effects of tragedy across generations in a seemingly picturesque Vermont town. The novel has been praised by critics for its intricate plotting and authentic teen voices, with celebrities like Reese Witherspoon featuring it in her book club selections. Its exploration of how the past haunts the present resonates deeply with readers who understand that in small towns, nothing stays buried forever, especially secrets. Echo Ridge, Vermont presents itself as a quintessential New England town, with its white picket fences, historic colonial homes, and maple-lined streets. The local diner serves bottomless coffee, shopkeepers know customers by name, and seasonal festivals draw tourists from across the state. But beneath this Norman Rockwell facade lies a disturbing pattern of violence against young women, particularly those who stand in the spotlight. When 17-year-old twins Ellery and Ezra Corcoran arrive to live with their grandmother Nora, they're immediately thrust into the town's dark legacy that spans generations. Their mother Sadie grew up here, but her twin sister Sarah mysteriously disappeared on homecoming night 25 years ago, vanishing between the high school gym and her car, her body never found despite extensive searches. 5 years before the twins' arrival, homecoming queen Lacey Kilduff was murdered at the local Halloween attraction Fright Farm, her body discovered posed among the artificial cobwebs and plastic skeletons like a macabre display. The twins' connection to Echo Ridge's sinister undercurrent is established within moments of their arrival when they discover the body of science teacher Jason Bowman, victim of a hit-and-run during a violent hailstorm. His death, which appears accidental at first glance, bears unsettling similarities to past tragedies. This grim welcome sets the tone for their stay in a town where tragedy seems to lurk around every corner, from the abandoned theme park on the outskirts to the high school hallways where their aunt once walked. Ellery, a true crime aficionado whose obsession stems from her aunt's unsolved disappearance, immediately begins connecting dots that others have missed or chosen to ignore. She notices how certain names keep appearing in old newspaper clippings, how alibis don't quite align, and how the town's power structure seems to protect certain families. What makes Echo Ridge so chilling is how the past and present blur together in an endless loop of tragedy. The same families occupy the same houses, their children walking the same routes to school where previous generations met their doom. Streets and buildings that were crime scenes decades ago continue to function as if nothing happened. The movie theater where Sarah was last seen still shows weekend matinees. Teenagers still congregate at Malcolm's Diner where Lacey had her last meal. The Kilduffs still live right behind Fright Farm where their daughter was murdered, forced to see the Halloween decorations go up each year. The community's refusal to truly confront its violent history creates a pressure cooker environment where old wounds fester and new threats emerge from the shadows of unresolved crimes. As Ellery astutely observes, in Echo Ridge, the past isn't really past. It's more like a shadow that follows you everywhere you go, growing darker and longer with each passing year until it threatens to swallow you whole. The novel masterfully explores how family histories shape identity and destiny. For Ellery and Ezra, their very existence is defined by tragedy. They've grown up in the shadow of their missing Aunt Sarah, with a mother whose trauma manifested in addiction and emotional distance. Ellery calls her mother Sadie rather than Mom, a small linguistic choice that reveals volumes about their strained relationship. Her obsession with true crime isn't just a hobby, it's a desperate attempt to understand the family trauma that has shaped her life. Malcolm Kelly carries a different but equally heavy burden. As the younger brother of Declan Kelly, Lacey Kilduff's boyfriend and the town's prime suspect in her murder, Malcolm has spent years living under the cloud of suspicion that surrounds his family name. Though Declan was never formally charged, the court of public opinion convicted him, forcing him to leave town while his family dealt with the fallout. Malcolm's life improved financially when his mother married wealthy lawyer Peter Nilsson, but the social stigma remains. The novel shows how these inherited traumas shape the younger generation's choices and relationships. Malcolm lives with constant awareness of how his actions might be interpreted through the lens of his brother's alleged crimes. "I learned to keep my emotions in check," he explains, "because anger is the one thing people remember about Declan." Ellery's obsession with solving mysteries stems directly from the unanswered questions about her aunt. These family legacies don't just influence their bearers, they actively constrain them, limiting their options and coloring how others perceive them. What's particularly poignant is how these young people struggle to forge identities separate from their family histories. When Malcolm's mother defends him to police by saying he's not like Declan, it reveals how Malcolm has never been allowed to simply be himself. Similarly, Ellery must constantly navigate the whispers about her crazy mother and missing aunt. The novel asks a profound question: how do you become your own person when your identity is so entangled with family trauma? Echo Ridge epitomizes the dichotomy between appearance and reality that characterizes small-town America. The community maintains a veneer of perfection, from the pristine high school with its pine floors and arched windows to the carefully orchestrated homecoming traditions, while dark undercurrents flow beneath the surface. The town's obsession with appearances manifests in everything from the meticulously maintained Victorian homes on Main Street to the coordinated seasonal decorations that transform the town square. Even the local diner, with its chrome fixtures and red vinyl booths, seems frozen in an idealized 1950s aesthetic that the townspeople desperately try to preserve. The Halloween attraction Fright Farm serves as the perfect metaphor for this dynamic. A place designed to provide controlled scares becomes the site of actual horror when Lacey is murdered there. The attraction's manufactured frights, plastic skeletons, strobe lights, and actors in masks, create an illusion of danger that ironically masks real threats lurking within the community. Similarly, the homecoming dance, meant to celebrate school spirit and community, becomes twisted into something sinister when threatening messages target the homecoming court. The traditional parade floats, with their paper flowers and glitter, take on a grotesque quality as they move through streets where young women have disappeared. Social hierarchies in Echo Ridge are rigidly maintained through careful image management. Katrin Nilsson, the quintessential queen bee, maintains her status through calculated friendships and strategic social maneuvers. Her designer clothes, perfectly curated social media presence, and seemingly effortless academic achievements create an armor of perfection. When she invites the twins to lunch on their first day, it's not genuine friendliness, but a power move to assess potential threats to her status. Her lunch table becomes a microcosm of the town's social structure, where seating arrangements carry the weight of political alliances and casual conversations mask careful reconnaissance. The characters themselves wear masks, hiding their true feelings and motivations behind carefully constructed personas. Brooke Bennett presents herself as Katrin's loyal sidekick while harboring secrets that ultimately contribute to her demise. Her cheerleader uniform and perpetual smile serve as camouflage for deeper ambitions and resentments. Viv Contrell poses as a serious journalist while manufacturing threats for her own career advancement, her professional demeanor concealing a willingness to sacrifice truth for sensation. Even Ellery and Malcolm maintain careful facades, she hiding her fear behind true crime knowledge and quick wit, he concealing his resentment of his stepfamily behind polite compliance and self-deprecating humor. The novel suggests that this culture of secrecy and image management creates the perfect environment for violence to flourish. When a community values appearance over truth, predators can hide in plain sight, their crimes obscured by collective denial. The town's reluctance to acknowledge its dark history, from domestic abuse hidden behind closed doors to economic disparities masked by carefully maintained lawns, creates blind spots where violence can breed unchecked. As Ellery reflects after discovering yet another layer of deception, in Echo Ridge, nothing is ever what it seems. This observation extends beyond individual secrets to encompass the town's entire social fabric, where the pressure to maintain appearances has created a community-wide conspiracy of silence. Two Can Keep a Secret delves deeply into the psychological toll of keeping secrets, both on individuals and communities. The title itself references the old adage, two can keep a secret if one of them is dead, hinting at the deadly consequences of shared knowledge in Echo Ridge. For Sadie Corcoran, the weight of her secrets has literally driven her to addiction. When she finally reveals to Ellery that she was supposed to meet Sarah the night her sister disappeared, but skipped out to lose her virginity to her homecoming date, the confession comes through tears. "I've spent my whole life thinking that if I'd just been there, Sarah would still be alive," she admits. This secret has shaped every aspect of her life, including her relationship with her children. Similarly, Daisy Wong carries the burden of her secret love for Declan Kelly and her guilt about Lacey's death. Her nervous breakdown in Boston wasn't random. It was the inevitable collapse of someone who had spent years maintaining a facade. When she finally confesses to having loved Declan while he was dating her best friend, the relief is palpable. "I've never told anyone that before," she says, the weight of years of silence evident in her voice. The novel explores how secrets corrode relationships from within. Ellery and Sadie's strained mother-daughter dynamic stems directly from Sadie's refusal to discuss the past. Malcolm and Declan's brotherly bond has been fractured by years of unspoken suspicions and resentments. Even romantic relationships in Echo Ridge are poisoned by secrets. Lacey and Declan's seemingly perfect relationship was undermined by his feelings for Daisy, while Peter and Malcolm's mother built their marriage on a foundation of lies. On a community level, Echo Ridge's culture of silence enables violence to continue unchecked. By refusing to fully reckon with Sarah's disappearance or properly investigate Lacey's murder, the town creates conditions where history can repeat itself with Brooke's disappearance. The novel suggests that collective silence is a form of complicity, that by prioritizing the town's image over truth, Echo Ridge's residents have blood on their hands. Through Ellery's character, McManus explores society's fascination with true crime and questions the ethics of turning real tragedies into entertainment. Ellery's obsession with true crime stems from personal trauma, her aunt's disappearance, but has evolved into something more complex and potentially problematic. She approaches Echo Ridge with the detached mindset of a detective, viewing the town's residents as potential suspects rather than complex individuals with their own stories and pain. "True crime has taught me three things," she explains early in the novel. 1, anyone is capable of murder under the right circumstances. 2, the killer is usually hiding in plain sight. And 3, it's always the boyfriend. This mantra reveals both the wisdom and limitations of true crime conventions. This investigative framework initially serves Ellery well, helping her notice subtle connections and patterns that others overlook. She picks up on inconsistencies and alibis, recognizes the significance of seemingly minor details, and understands the importance of establishing timelines. But the novel also shows the significant limitations and psychological dangers of this perspective. Her tendency to view everything through the lens of true crime leads her to make incorrect assumptions about Malcolm, Declan, and others, nearly destroying potential friendships and alliances. More troublingly, it sometimes causes her to forget the human cost of the tragedy she's investigating. When she digs through trash at Fright Farm looking for clues, she's treating Brooke's disappearance more like an intellectual puzzle to solve than a life hanging in the balance. The character of Viv Cantrell serves as a dark mirror, representing the most extreme and troubling aspects of true crime obsession. Willing to manufacture threats, plant false evidence, and manipulate the homecoming election just to create a compelling story for her journalism portfolio, Viv embodies the ethical concerns about exploitation in true crime media. Her actions, from staging threatening scenes to orchestrating dramatic reveals, raise uncomfortable questions about the line between documenting and creating crime narratives. She represents the growing trend of true crime content creators who prioritize views and engagement over truth and ethical responsibility. Yet the novel doesn't simply condemn true crime interest or dismiss its value entirely. Ellery's extensive knowledge of criminal behavior patterns and investigative techniques ultimately help solve both current and past murders. Her understanding of victimology and criminal psychology provides valuable insights that aid the investigation. The book suggests that the problem isn't interest in true crime itself, but rather approaching it without empathy or ethical boundaries. As Ellery grows throughout the story, she learns to balance her investigative instincts with genuine concern for the people involved, representing a more thoughtful and responsible engagement with true crime. Her evolution demonstrates how true crime interest can be channeled constructively when combined with empathy and respect for victims. The novel ultimately presents a nuanced view of true crime culture, acknowledging both its potential benefits, increased awareness of safety issues, understanding of criminal behavior, and tools for solving cold cases, while warning against the desensitization and exploitation that can occur when real tragedies are treated merely as entertainment. Through Ellery's journey, readers are challenged to examine their own relationship with true crime media and consider the ethical implications of consuming stories built on others' suffering. Two Can Keep a Secret offers a nuanced exploration of justice and closure in the aftermath of violence. The novel resists simple narratives of good and evil, instead presenting a complex web of motivations, mistakes, and consequences that span generations. For Declan Kelly, justice never truly arrived. Though he wasn't formally charged with Lacey's murder, the court of public opinion convicted him, destroying his future. When Malcolm encounters him at Bukowski's tavern, Declan is a shell of his former self, unable to even order a drink without worrying about showing his ID. "I'm nobody," he tells a stranger who recognizes him, a heartbreaking statement from someone whose identity has been reduced to suspected murderer. His situation raises uncomfortable questions about the presumption of innocence and the lasting damage of unproven allegations. Conversely, Peter Nielsen represents justice delayed but eventually served. A respected lawyer and community leader, Peter hid his violent nature behind a veneer of respectability for decades. His eventual arrest brings a measure of justice for Brooke, Lacey, and potentially Sarah, but it can't undo the damage he's caused or bring back the dead. The novel acknowledges the bitter truth that perfect justice is impossible in the wake of murder. Some wounds can never fully heal. The concept of closure proves equally complex. When Brooke's body is discovered, Ellery reflects that she knew intellectually how murder investigations typically end, but wasn't prepared for how awful it would feel. This moment highlights the gap between abstract knowledge about crime and the devastating emotional reality of loss. For families like the Kilduffs and the Corcorans, closure isn't a single moment, but an ongoing process of learning to live with unanswerable questions and permanent absence. The novel's ending reinforces this complexity. While the main mystery is solved, Ellery chooses to keep Peter's final confession that he killed Sarah thinking she was Sadie to herself. This decision acknowledges that sometimes full disclosure doesn't serve justice or healing. Some secrets, the novel suggests, are better left buried when revealing them would only cause more pain without changing the fundamental reality of loss. Despite its dark themes, Two Can Keep a Secret ultimately offers hope through its portrayal of characters finding ways to forge identities beyond the traumas that have defined them. This journey towards selfhood represents the novel's most profound character development. For Ellery, this process involves reconciling with her mother and embracing her expanded family. Though she begins the novel distant from Sadie, their shared experience of Peter's violence creates space for healing. When Sadie rushes to her hospital bedside, Ellery returns her mother's hug with all her remaining strength, a physical gesture that symbolizes her willingness to rebuild their relationship. Similarly, her cautious openness to knowing Ryan Rodriguez and his family represents a step toward defining herself by new connections rather than old losses. Malcolm's journey involves breaking free from his brother's shadow and his stepfather's influence. Throughout the novel, he's defined himself in opposition to both Declan, the alleged murderer, and Peter, the wealthy stepfather. By the end, he's beginning to establish his own identity, reconnecting with Declan on more equal terms while planning a future separate from the Nielsen household. His growing relationship with Ellery represents another aspect of this self-definition, choosing connections based on genuine understanding rather than family obligation or social expectation. Even secondary characters demonstrate this theme. Declan and Daisy, after years of defining themselves by their connection to Lacey's death, finally build a life together that acknowledges the past without being imprisoned by it. Sadie begins the difficult work of addressing her addiction and rebuilding relationships with her mother and children. The novel's final image of Ellery and Malcolm walking hand in hand on a beautiful October day symbolizes this possibility of moving forward without forgetting the past. They carry their traumas. Ellery still holds Peter's final confession, but refused to be defined solely by them. I'm thinking about SATs and college visits and getting to know my half-siblings and maybe more dates with Malcolm. This focus on future possibilities rather than past tragedies represents the novel's most hopeful message, that even in a town haunted by violence, new beginnings remain possible. The novel's final revelation, that Peter killed Sarah thinking she was Sadie, brings the story full circle, connecting present violence to past crimes in a devastating way. This twist reinforces the novel's central theme that the past is never truly past, especially in a place like Echo Ridge, where secrets fester beneath the surface for decades. Peter's confession that, "I thought she was your mother," carries a chilling implication. Ellery and Ezra shouldn't exist. If Peter had succeeded in killing Sadie instead of mistakenly murdering Sarah, the twins would never have been born. This realization forces Ellery to confront her own contingent existence, the fact that her life resulted from a case of mistaken identity in a murder plot. It's a psychological burden almost too heavy to bear, which explains why she chooses to keep this final secret even from those closest to her. The novel's ending is deliberately ambiguous about whether keeping the secret is the right choice. On one hand, revealing it would only cause more pain to Sadie and wouldn't change what happened to Sarah. On the other hand, secrets have a way of poisoning relationships in Echo Ridge, and Ellery risks repeating the pattern of silence that enabled violence in the first place. This moral ambiguity reflects the novel's sophisticated approach to questions of truth and healing. What remains clear is that Echo Ridge's cycle of violence stems directly from its refusal to honestly confront its past. Peter's crimes went undetected for decades because the community preferred comfortable lies to uncomfortable truths. The novel suggests that while individual healing is possible, true community healing requires collective reckoning with buried secrets. Until Echo Ridge can honestly face its history of violence against young women, the past will continue to haunt the present. As Ellery walks hand in hand with Malcolm in the novel's final scene, she embodies this tension between moving forward and acknowledging the past. She plans for her future while carrying the weight of generations of secrets. The question that lingers beyond the final page is whether Echo Ridge will ever truly break its cycle of violence, or whether some secrets will remain buried until they inevitably resurface in new tragedy. After all, two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.